Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hello. Goodbye. We should go on tour.
Everyone.
Just singing.
What?
We should just go on tour singing that.
The Hello Goodbye tour.
Hello.
Each show is 10 seconds long.
Hello. It's called the Micro Tour. Goodbye.
That would be iconic. What was I going to say? Oh,
everybody.
Someone commented. Well, first of all, someone commented on the most recent Beverly Hills Angels post. They were like, I literally thought this was going to be the episode where they just go, hello, goodbye. And that's the end.
Damn, we missed.
And I was like, that would have been the troll of a lifetime.
Yeah, that was a miss up for us.
Damn, we really dropped the fucking ball on that. Next time.
Yeah, good news is you never know when it's going to come.
Yeah. Secondly, everyone is in a place of hello, goodbye right now.
What do you mean?
Like, no one, truly no one, myself included, wants to get off their ass and do a goddamn thing.
Well, we're potting remotely right now. I have hello, goodbye.
I know, but that's, we have a diva down because Carrie got a touch of the cold that's going around right now. So
little...
he's just protecting me from that, which is,
diva
that
down.
Is, you are getting off your ass
I'm
and
truly diva
by
down.
By protecting mother, yeah.
Yes. But yeah, I hear you. I think everyone's like, this year was long.
This year was long, arduous, and like unrelenting. Yet also I was like, what even happened this year? Like, I have no idea what's even been going on. And I still kind of feel like I don't know anything anymore.
Yeah, I'm pretty fried.
I'm really fried. But everyone is. But I'm like, I need one person, just one person, to get off their asses and fucking work. Just one person.
It might not have to be me.
No, preferably not me.
Yeah.
I would love one.
Who is working right now?
That's no one.
Anyone running the country?
Like, I tried today to get, I've been trying to get reimbursed from my renter's insurance from when I was displaced. And
they still haven't even broached that with you?
No, I've sent them so many documents. I've sent them, like, I spent hours, like, putting together a PDF of all my expenses and then scanning every receipt and organizing them in a beautiful folder, naming them and sending them. And no one ever responded. So I just thought, like, oh, they're processing or whatever. And, like, someone texted me and he was like, have you ever sent these? And I was like, yes, I'll resend the email now. And then no one ever responded. And then I got a email today that was like, thank you so much for, like, your business. Like, rate in a survey how well you think this claim went. And I was like, the claim
survey.
Is not over. I was like, what? Like, the claim has never been over. Like, the claim is ongoing as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Then I reached out to, like, my claim man and I was like, what's the deal with this claim? And he's like, well, we never got any info from you. And I was like, okay.
Now they're gaslighting.
I don't understand. No, I was like, you're telling me. I'm like, where does the email go then? He goes, I don't know. And I said, well, like, what's the problem? And I was like, I sent a zip file. He was like, oh, we can't get zip files. I was like, so you want me to tell, I was like, how do you want these receipts? You want me to just write a new email and send one receipt for every email? I was like, yeah, or you can text them if they're on your phone. And I was like,
how many receipts are there?
There's like 25 receipts.
Damn.
I was like, this is so inefficient. There's no portal. I was like, can you fucking do one thing?
Are they living in like 2002?
I don't know, but whoever invented this like process, I was like, it's easier for me to upload a claim for my dog than it is for me to like upload a claim for my own life and living.
They're just, I love, no, we simply can't.
I go, well, then where does the email go? Because we just won't get it if we if it has a zip file, just never. And
I've
I was
never
like, okay,
that.
Can I send? Me neither. I'm like,
strange.
That seems like a big problem for a company. But that's maybe something you want to
run
another, up the corporate
chain. That's another
chain.
Conversation.
Yeah. You're going to have to take that to your manager or like a higher up administrator. We can't discuss this right now. I do have feedback, but I'm not on the payroll, so I'm not going to provide that. But like, I was like, can I send you a test email right now? And then you can tell me if you got the test so we can make sure that you're getting emails.
Not a test email.
No, a test email. I took it to a place of test. And he was like, he then responded from a place of like the test. He was like, well, you can send it, but I might not get it for hours. And I said, well, where, pray tell, does it, I've never heard of an email taking hours to get to someone.
Oh my God.
And I was just, he had a response for everything. And it was like, we do things a little differently here at Assurant.
Isn't the whole point of like the internet that things travel at the speed of light to get somewhere?
I don't know, but they're on another timeline and operating their email system in another dimension. And the dimension that they're in simply does not accept zip files, and like emails fall into the ether and exist. Like, I've sent emails that are just existing there in space.
Rapture.
No one knows. Yeah, they've been raptured. So that's one instance of no one getting off their fucking asses. But anyways, that aside, you know who really decided not to get off their ass? Charlie Burnett, who quit Vanderpump Rules.
Talk about Diva Down. Diva.
Also.
Hi, babe.
Do we believe?
Go with daddy. Go, go, go. just a little encouragement to my son. Go, go, go. His other daddy just walked in.
Do we believe that she quit or she was fired?
No, I think she... Well, I do believe that she was like, I felt very uncomfortable. I think she was deeply uncomfortable with like this crowd of people. I don't think she fit the mold.
You're like, as you should be. That's like a normal reaction to being around the cast of Vanderpump Rules is that you're incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's normal.
I think that shows that she probably has more integrity in her. But I do think that like also releasing a deadline, which crazy that a year ago, that would not be anything. That would be on like Pop Candies. Today it's on Deadline. And she... Yeah, I think it was like a... I feel like it wasn't even like... To fire someone means that you like really care. Like you took... You invested energy in firing them. I think it was a more... Oh. Yeah. Oh. Okay, yeah. That's... Yeah, we'll check in later. I think it was that. I don't think it was like...
Or they were like, here's $5 for you to be like a friend of.
Yeah.
She was like, no.
She didn't really bring that much. I mean, she did have that moment in Havasaw when she was like, when she kind of came for the girlies in defense of Raquel. Like, I did appreciate her being like, what is that supposed to mean? Like, I like that. But
yeah, one good moment.
But then she kind of was like, fell off and then was like working at like another club, right? Wasn't she like a bottle girl at another club and was just kind of like, hey,
I can't even remember.
This is my life now.
Until yesterday, I completely forgot that she was even on the show.
She had potential. I still am missing the girl who breathed into a breathalyzer to unlock her car.
Danica. That's a true diva down.
Yeah.
They should circle back and get her in the mix.
Danica and her volatile relationship with that hottie.
With Brett. She was like beating his ass behind the scenes.
Like, yeah. That's, I crave that. But Charlie, to that I say, good luck with all your projects.
Yeah. Bye, bitch.
Bye.
I was like, bye. I literally was like, oh my God. I didn't even register. I had not even thought about her since Scandoval even started. It's been months. It's been almost 9 months of me just completely erasing her from my very being. Much like the emails to my rental insurance company.
Charlie disappeared.
Yeah, she's with the emails now. Until yesterday when Deadline when Deadline broke the news.
Slow day at Deadline. I liked when she was just like, it's like someone being like, all right, well, I'm leaving now. And everyone's like, oh.
Okay.
Oh, okay. See you later. Okay, bye. See you guys. I'm leaving. Bye. It was that's what I had. That is my scenario in my head.
Mm-hmm. That's very accurate.
And she was like, maybe we'll touch base in the following season. I'm like, one, it might not even be around then. And two, I think we'll have moved on fully.
I don't know if anyone yearns desperately to touch base with Charlie Burnett in future seasons of Vanderpump Rules.
But I
think I'm pretty confident that the audience for touching this base of which she speaks does not exist.
Yeah. I saw a podcast clip of Sheena like bawling her eyes out on someone's podcast talking about Ariana and being like, she doesn't know how hard it was for me. All of this was so hard for me. I was like,
incredible.
Just that is so Sheena.
Incredible work yet again. Sheena is the only person who really does want to work.
What about me?
You don't know how difficult this was for me.
You don't know how difficult the seismic, like, devastation of your life was for me.
Fair. I believe it was extremely hard for Sheena.
Oh, no. I think it was the hardest thing Sheena never went through.
Mm-hmm. The hardest thing that never happened to her.
Yeah, I think she was like, this rocked her to her core and is still, like, the most traumatized. Not, like, childbirth, not, like, you know.
Not even childhood trauma.
Not even childhood trauma.
Core issues.
Robert Parks Valletta.
Any, like, family trauma. It was Scandoval, a thing that never happened to her that changed everything for her.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good that someone is saying hello, hello.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie's saying hello, goodbye. Sheena says, I'm here.
I love Remember Me. Well, I quit.
Hi, I quit. Just checking
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I quit months ago, actually.
I feel like she doesn't even live in LA anymore.
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
All right.
And
if you're not Raquel, I don't want to hear from anyone.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Or Rachel, sorry.
Go back to where you came from.
Go back whence you came. Yeah.
Wait, Amanda Bynes has a podcast now.
Diva up. Amanda Bynes is back. She's
We have fierce competition in the podcast world. Just when you think you're getting ahead, the fucking biz changes and Amanda Bynes comes out the gates.
I know.
With a
gay that looks like Jesus.
A podcast with a gay.
I would say, like, in 2023, if you have the intention to start a podcast, don't do it.
Please
but
don't.
If you're Amanda Bynes, that doesn't apply to you. So Amanda Bynes is now doing a podcast called Amanda Bynes and Paul Siminski, the podcast. And it's her and her friend, Paul, who's this queer, who literally looks like Jesus and has like eyeshadow on and some purple in his hair. And they're doing a podcast now where they just talk to guests that they find interesting. And their first guest was with a tattoo artist named Dakota. What was her name?
Unclear. I listened to like probably 35 minutes of the podcast.
Me too. I listened to all of it.
You listened to all of it?
I listened to the whole damn thing.
Amanda Bynes said, I'm going to disrupt the way that this is done usually. First things first with the name.
Amanda Bynes.
You may think that when you name a podcast, you want to have like a kooky name or something creative. No, we're going to go with my name, the co-host name, and then the podcast,
which I kind of think is punk,
definitely,
and that's something I've never seen. So like, that's
never.
You're already out the gates, like ahead of the game,
disrupting.
And she basically doesn't really speak during the interview. She asks like a few things. It's more Paul is like the real talker. I'm kind of like, shut up, Paul. But
yeah,
he seems to be talking.
They also like don't they don't, there's no introductory banter. Like for a first episode, one would suspect that you're like,
how do we know
each
other?
I'm Amanda Bynes. This is my friend. We met this way. Like, I know you haven't heard from me in a while. Like, I have been through a lot. I'm going to talk about it, but I also want to talk to like some, like just anything to kind of set the scene and get the listener engaged and ready to go on this journey with you. No. Mm-mm.
She's also, a podcast will be done every 2 weeks, according to her. Like, the next one we should expect in 2 weeks, which I'm like...
Well, they're going to record it in 2 weeks, but we don't know when
to expect it. Okay, I thought she was... I forgot. But you know what? I'm like, she went through another stint at, like, a rehabilitation center earlier this year. She seems somewhat balanced for her. So I'm just happy that she's like, and she's interviewing, like, I don't, this person, I was like, is she like a very well-known artist? Like, I think she's just some random person they met. And we're like, hey.
She's a random person that Amanda and her ex-fiance saw working at Spirit Halloween. And Amanda and her struck up a friendship. And then she ended up being the first.
Wait, is that real?
Yes.
I missed that part.
You missed it? That
I thought you were, when you texted the group, when you texted the group that, I was like, oh, Laura's making a funny joke.
No, I was serious. And when I was listening, I was like, Carrie's going to love this because
she met her at Spirit.
She literally, this girl was working at Spirit Halloween in the Valley in North Hollywood, at Spirit Halloween in North Hollywood. Amanda and her then fiance walked in. And they saw this girl, and Amanda says, I was working on a fragrance, and I saw this girl, and I said, she's so beautiful. I think she's a model. And asked her, like, do you want a model for my fragrance? And then they became friends, and then now this woman's on the podcast. But I, too, was like, who is this lady? Like, the way that they get into the podcast is literally like, hey, I'm Amanda Bynes, and this is my friend Paul, and today with us is Dakota. Now we're going to get into some questions for Dakota. Hey, Dakota, please say your name and what you do. And that was just the beginning of the podcast.
And she's like, she says she's from Vancouver originally. And they, and they're just like, Paul, they're like, wow, that's amazing. And they're like, do you feel like you're far from home? 'Cause you're from Canada. And she's like, well, I guess not like physically that far. 'Cause we're on the same coast, but like, yeah, sometimes I do.
Groundbreaking.
It is. It's giving a little like Lindsay being like asking Aliana Lohan, like, what do you like to do on a plane? What did she say? What do you read on a plane?
Yeah, she was like, I'm definitely curious to see where this goes.
She's just getting her sea legs. She's just like, she's figuring it out. It's a as we go process. Potting is very trial by error. So she's like, she has, you know, she's just kind of navigating it, I think, moment by moment. She's like, we'll figure out the vibe. This is like a test run. It did feel like a very when I go to like iPic and they interview like an artist before the movie starts, it did feel like she was like that. She's like, yeah, I'm a tattoo artist. She's been tattooing for three years. I mean, look, I'm like, I
Amanda even goes like, she goes to Paul, he goes, I really want to get a tattoo, and Amanda's like, you want to get a tattoo? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, how do you, I believe that she like doesn't even know these people, which is radical.
I just think I know we both like want, like, I think everyone from our generation like wants the best for her because she was so special, you know. And I think she's been through something that we don't even.
She's been through hell.
She's been through fucking hell. And like, she's very honest that she's like, I'm bipolar. I've had an addiction to drugs. You know what I mean? So like, she's very honest about it. And I know we're like, we know, but
we can tell. It's pretty obvious.
But I really want the best for her. And I don't say that like just blanketed. Like, I really do. So I'm like, anything she does, I'm like, yes. But I just worry that every time she comes a little back into the limelight, that something's going to happen. Because then she took to her TikTok and was talking about the lighting that paparazzos use when they take photos of her recently. And she's like talking about her skin and like how she has scars and that she doesn't look good. And it always comes back to like when she starts talking about like everything she doesn't like about herself, like in that very kind of almost like shallow way, it that makes me nervous because that's like how she was talking before. You know what I mean? Like she's always like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think what I here's what I like about her podcast is that she's just seems to be independently producing it.
Yeah, that's great.
I think that's really cool. I think that normally when we see like a celebrity or like a known public figure with a podcast, it has a very produced feel or there's like a deal behind it where they're just essentially like getting paid to show up and like blab and then
go
exit
home.
The studio.
Yeah.
And I don't have a lot of respect for that these days.
Right.
So I respect that it seems like she and Paul are just like DIYing this project. And I do think that it can only go up from when your first guest is just a rando that you met at Spirit Halloween. It's only up from there. So that bodes well. What I also think is that this is a person who has had the types of breaks mentally and the types of insane asylum stints that they will never be who they were.
No,
again.
No.
And that
it's
I think
very melancholy. Putting,
yeah, and I think I mean I love freedom for people and like I love mess. And I think that if you're going to give people who are messy the kind of freedom where they can and a platform where they can do whatever and say whatever, you're not going to feel comfortable with it most of the time. Most of the time, if a person is like on a different mental playing field, they're going to be saying stuff on TikTok that you're like, chica.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is, but I hope that she continues and it would be like very radical if this evolves and becomes something. And I think she could be the first like genuinely crazy person that pulled off like a podcast. And that would be cool.
Yeah, I want her to like reach, I want her to soar. I think she's very much just like, it's just them.
It's just Amanda and Paul, the podcast. And she has, I mean, her look right now, too, just like a coming out the gates with a blue eyebrow and a Dog the Bounty Hunter bleached hair is also radical. So she's like, she's paving like a new way for something we haven't seen. There's no one like her. Like this out there, and I support that.
There was no one like her before when she was like working and like in the public, you know what I mean? And there's no one like her now. She's a real star.
She's singular.
She's a real star. And I would love the Amanda heyday of like she was so funny.
Doll, that's gone.
No, I know. She was really funny. And like I know that's not going to happen again, so I will take what I can get, and I support her. I ride for her, and I ride for Paul, and I will be tuning in 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, and she stacked some views. I mean, that first video one on YouTube had 17,000 views, so she's out the gates with like a pretty solid audience. And, you know, maybe it's time for her to monetize and she's just going to do things like really differently. And this is like good ultimately for people who have had absolute 100% psychotic breaks. Like this is paving a new way for them to like get into the mix.
I would rather watch Amanda and Paul than like Dax Shepard.
Yeah.
In 1,000 lifetimes. So
it's like you have to really read into like the subtext of what's going on. Mm-hmm. It requires you to pay extreme vigilant attention to every word and sentence that's being said.
Yeah, I love that. You want to get a tattoo?
Do you have tattoos? He goes, yeah.
She's like, wow. Oh. You should get okay.
It's like an incredibly mundane conversation.
Yeah.
That is somehow also groundbreaking and radical.
You know what else is groundbreaking? Dakota Johnson getting announcing to Vogue that she gets 14,000 hours. She said she gets 14 hours of sleep a night. And that sleep is her main priority in life is to sleep. And if she gets anything less than 10, she's off her game. I mean, talk about radical. Radical honesty.
That is radical.
Radical, just like, hello.
I like spending over half the day asleep.
Sorry, she told the Wall Street Journal this. She said, I don't have a regular wake-up time. It depends on what's happening in my life. If I'm not working, if I have a day off on a Monday, then I will sleep as long as I can. Sleep is my number one priority in life. I'm not functional if I get less than 10 hours of sleep. I can easily go 14 hours. I meditate every day, twice a day. I do transcendental meditation. I've been really into breath work recently. And it helps her with her anxiety. She has anxiety, which is also groundbreaking. I will get in a bathtub at any moment, any time of the day. If in the middle of the night, I'm like, oh God, what is this world? I'll get in the bathtub. I find water really grounding.
Sounds really great to me.
Sounds amazing. I like any time of day.
There was a really funny Will Ferrell interview like years ago where someone asked him what his New Year's resolution was. And he said to get 14 hours of sleep per night, to like really prioritize sleep and get at least 14 hours a night. And I thought about that recently because I too am trying to like prioritize my sleep, but it is like really hard to do. And I envy being able to get 10 hours.
Yeah, I think maybe talk about heads up. I think the heads up in with famous people is that to sleep 14 hours a night. It's giving my year of rest and relaxation.
Yeah, it's giving Are You Depressed?
She would be great in that movie.
Darling, are you depressed?
You're spending over half the day asleep.
Usually when I spend over half the day sleeping, I'm 9 out of 10 times I'm depressed.
Do you think Dakota Johnson has depression? Or do you think... I don't know.
I could see her maybe getting depressed every once in a while.
I mean, she clearly gets affected by what's happening in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Time for a bath.
Anxious.
Madam Web star.
Madam Web. Yeah, I would be really anxious too if I was in Madam Web and just saw that trailer come out. I need to take to the bath.
I don't like superhero movies, but I'm going opening night to that.
You're going to support it? Yes. I think the gays are going to really turn out for Madam Web.
Yes. I think Dakota is just like, she's a fascinating, like Amanda, she's just singular.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I love her. I love everything she does.
She would have a great podcast.
She's so above podcasting.
I know.
Like, and I appreciate that she would probably never and will never have a podcast. And that's like a true celebrity to me.
She's a true
A-list celebrity means that you never have a podcast.
Yep. I like the idea of her just being like
a real A-lister.
Like just out shopping or something and just being like, time for a bath. And then going like into the storage closet at the store and finding like an empty cleaning, you know, like a trash bin that's
clean.
Yeah, a mop bucket, and sitting in it. And just going, like Corky, Corky St. Clair from Waiting for Guffman.
I like just like furiously driving home on the PCH in Malibu, not even bothering to lock the car door, close the garage, just running to the bath.
Chris supports it. He's like, all right, honey.
I mean, that's true, like, actor, like A-list actor lifestyle is like you work for 3 to 4 months out of the year, maybe like 6 or 7, but then the rest of the time you just sleep and you take baths and you just like deal with life by just resting. And that would be such a fun way to live. I'm jealous, quite
me
frankly.
Too.
And then you also get to be BFF with Gwyneth.
I know, an apple.
Her life is like, I envy it.
I'm also interested in Dakota's best friendship with Jeremy Allen White's ex, Addison Tillman, Timlin.
Mm-hmm.
I want
to
know.
She's the godmother to their daughter. That intrigues me.
Very intriguing.
She's one of the last like true A-listers we have left. Because she doesn't even really go on social media or anything.
I also think, I would say Kirsten Dunst is also one of the last A-list.
True.
She's in a new, talk about heads up. She's in a new, the next year is the year of like.
Next year is about, we're about to enter the year of hysteria. And I'm just warning everyone, the hysteria is going to be at an all-time high. And it's only going to ramp up and up and up and up leading up to November. And it's really up to us all to ensure that we don't end up in the insane asylum, because everyone is going to be trying to send us there.
And a movie that will undoubtedly rustle a few feathers is...
It will undoubtedly lead us to the bath.
Sorry. Yeah, we will be in a place of bath next year after watching Alex Garland's Civil War starring Kiki Dunst.
I had chills through the whole trailer, and like, I will be there opening night. But at the same time, I was like, is this a comedy? Because like the Nick Offerman, it's so like serious that it almost was lol to me.
I think I've read that it's satirical.
It seemed kind of satire vibes. But and I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. Like,
he's proven to be a dramatic, you know, Last of Us.
No, he's a powerhouse.
Yeah.
He's a powerhouse.
Devs, he was really sinister. Alex Garland's other movie.
I know, he is actually a really good actor. I just was like getting like, are we supposed to be like laughing at this? And then it got into a place of seriousness. Screams and helicopters and like
it's DC a place of en masse.
Exploding. It's really en masse. It's right on brand.
Florida or
O'Donnell
California,
en masse.
Yeah. California and Texas have seceded from and formed an alliance, which makes me think my theory is that because they're the two biggest like state economies in the country, the president was getting a little too comfortable being president. And they had no choice but to align. Because he's on his... And you hear in the trailer, he's on his third term, which is, like, not legal.
He's cooed.
So I think it's, like, a serious situation.
It starts out lol, but then gets really serious, as most things do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited.
Yeah, I can't
wait. I'm not excited for, like, the discourse around it. And I'm not excited for, like, the hysteria that will no doubt precede it and follow it, but I'll be participating in my own cute way.
Yes.
And certainly will be covering every second of all the hysteria that goes down.
There's another civil war against fuckboys right now. You illuminated this to me.
Yeah, so I saw via a website I've never heard of called like glam.com.
Glamazon.
Glam.com has announced that lowercase boys are the boys to be keeping an eye out for on social or on dating apps. And
explain what a lowercase boy is.
A lowercase boy is a boy who uses no punctuation and just only types in lowercase letters, which to me feels very like 20s and like Gen Z coded. And it creates, I guess, a false sense of intimacy.
Yeah, it feels very. It feels very Olivia Rodrigo song title, on Spotify. Yeah.
I think it's very much like
Gen Z.
Gen Z, watch out for these. Watch out for these guys. They're using lowercase in their texts, and
that is so sinister. It is true. There's something like inherently almost like feminine about like just that's you know what I mean, and it. It creates like a, to me, it on paper denotes sensitivity, I think, in a way. It gives off the vibe of like, oh, this person's introspective and like kind of like meek and like very wearing sleeves over their hands and like kind of big sweaters. That's what it, to me, that's what all lowercase denotes. So I see that as like this false, like, yeah, I'm your friend, I'm like your friend.
Yeah, to me, it denotes also that it's like, fucking, I don't care about punctuation. Like, I'm not like other guys. Like, I'm not like other guys. I don't read, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or just like, I'm silly. It's silliness. And
I'm not,
I don't
like other guys. I don't care about punctuation. Guys, because we all know guys really care about punctuation.
But I care about punctuation a lot. And like, I appreciate a well thought out, like, text. Yeah. Then if I see a lowercase anyone, if I see anyone being lowercase to me, I'm immediately like, what are they trying to, they're trying to spin some, they're trying to go Madam Web and suck me in. And I don't trust it, like, outright. Yeah, they're succubus vibes. So just like, watch out for these boys. But I also feel like if a 40-year-old or above is being lowercase, I'm like, you're simply uneducated.
Oh, that's like you're trying to,
are you really that busy? That feels like, I'm so busy, I just have to be lowercase.
Yeah.
It's a manipulation. At the end of the day, anyone that's a place of all lowercase, anyone,
it
you
actually
should be immediately suspect.
It actually takes more effort to create all lowercase.
Yeah, because autocorrect wants you to just punctuate one goddamn thing every once in a while. So you have to, like, be changing everything.
Oh my God.
But I'm like, whatever you're doing when you're in a place of total lowercase, even, like, if I type LOL and it goes into, like if things of mine get autocorrected into lowercase, I feel like I'm not being represented, or I'm, like, manipulating, or something is wrong with me. Just, I think,
see that.
Be aware. If you see something, think something. You don't need to necessarily say something, but you just need to really think about, like, why is this person presenting as a lowercase Lenny to me?
It's giving toxic masculinity. It's also giving, like, a little school shooter.
It's giving teenage. It's giving uneducated COVID teenagers who got taken out of school, never learned math. So think about that.
Wow.
I think school shooters fuck with punctuation.
Maybe. I guess I'm generalizing.
I think school shooters are, like, because they're, like, all about the manifesto.
They're really
annoying.
And
I feel like,
yeah,
if you're writing,
but like,
manifestos.
But like, Zodiac wrote in all lowercase, and like, some psycho serial killer men. Right.
Okay.
So there's lowercase is also like psychotic, psychopath.
It's a thing to be aware of when it's happening. You just need to note it and understand that it's indicating something.
Yeah.
And then through further, it might take a while to figure out where they're going with this lowercase.
Yeah.
Let's
get like a digital handwriting an analyst to weigh in. What does this denote to you? What does this mean to you? Any listeners who are, like, experts in that or know someone, like, let us know.
Because the lowercase, they're texting lowercase.
No, I know, but
like,
I'm saying,
an aesthetic choice.
Yeah, it's like aesthetic. It's, oof.
I just think, do something else with your time. Yeah.
This week on Too Niche, while some people are decking the halls, we are simply hauling and investigating one of the top holiday gifting trends for 2023, luxury advent calendars.
Are they just a branding-driven grift destined for Trash Island, or a plethora of treats to delight you for the month of December? We shall discuss.
We're also hauling Sheena and Lala's new holiday single, Christmas Sleigh, to let you know if it's niche or sheesh.
So tune in to Too Niche, new episodes every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Nothing gives me naked confidence like being freshly showered, hair blown out, makeup on, putting on my favorite perfume.
Nothing gives me naked confidence quite like getting my parking validated at Equinox after a well-earned workout.
A very close second would be Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. Unlike certain other deos, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control
everywhere, from your pits to your feet.
And yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi.
Flash forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole body deo has earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people who love feeling confident from head to toe.
New customers get $5 off Lumi's starter pack with code SUP at LumiDeodorant.com. I love Lumi because as a gay man, you need to have your taint smelling fresh as fuck. So with one roll of Lumi, I'm ready to get out there and own the world.
What I love most about Lumi is that it's multi-purpose. It saves its customers money because you're not buying all these different products for different body parts. You can just boil it all down to one super product that takes care of any of your odor issues.
Whole body deodorant with Lumi, seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. Your pits, your underboobs, thigh folds, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulvas, and feet.
It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control over up to 72 hours.
And it's baking soda free and paraben free.
Plus, it's pH balanced for safe use below the belt.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with the code SUP at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use the code SUP. Are you ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? Give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos, and you will rise to the top of the heap, and you will be deified and worshipped for the rest of your days walking this planet.
Because as anyone who has siblings know, that's the only goal on Mother's Day is to be the favorite.
And if you're an only child, you're still competing with all your other extended family members, and it's important to wage a war and come out on top.
If you're an only child, you're also at war with yourself.
So what you can do is get your mother or the preeminent mother figure in your life an Aura frame. You load it up with photos. It's literally the easiest thing to do. And I know that you might be thinking, ew, digital frames are bleak, but I'm telling you, this Aura frame is chic.
And the best part is it has unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, so you can keep updating your mother or mother figure's frame with new photos. So it's the gift that keeps on giving and uploading.
I gave my mom an Aura frame, and she had resisted for so long because she's truly anti-technology, like barely even understands right. How to FaceTime. And I said, just let me. And I set it all up for her. I plugged it in. I fired up the app. I preloaded pictures on it, and now she's so into it that she figured out how to preload pictures and even runs it from her app, which is truly saying a lot because she refuses to download apps. She thinks everyone's spying on her, stealing her data, and the fact that I was able to break through and she literally loves this frame, like loaded it up with pictures of her cat, I was like, we did it, Joe. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off, plus free shipping on their best-selling frame.
That's AuraFrames.com. Use code SUP at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, Princess Diana. But that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Disintel, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers. Stretching back into the history of the British monarchy, did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Disintel on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But we're not here to talk about lowercase.
No, even though we've spent a tight 38 talking about anything but the thing that we are actually here to talk about.
Hey, there was a lot to unpack.
There was a lot. We're here to talk about
the ladies,
the true divas.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to Sexy, Unique
Podcast.
Salty
Utah Queen
Divas. We start off in the second morning they're there, I think.
It's day two of the Bermuda trip of a lifetime.
They wake up. It genuinely looks unbelievable. Like, the views are spectacular. Everyone has an incredible view from their room. Everyone except Meredith.
Old Meredith, who's like in the maid's quarters.
She's got like branches scraping at her window. She's just in bed. Oh, she sleeps 14 hours a night.
Oh, I'll bet she does. She's like, can't function unless she has 16 hours of sleep a night.
Yeah. Damn. What a life. So everyone's like a little hungover / shaken from the, you know, the Whitney Heather drama. But Heather doesn't have time to think about that because she's decorating for Monica's birthday. She loves... Heather is the grand... She is the master of morning birthday celebrations, which I relate to because my mom was.
Yeah, that was definitely a thing as a kid where you like walked into, like, if it was your birthday, you'd walk into like the little kitchen table area and there would be like letters up of your name and balloons and
waffles.
Presents on the table. Yeah, and it would be like your morning to just like do you and have a little birthday breakfast.
And you'd look at your siblings and go,
and be like,
glad you're getting some waffles on my behalf this morning.
Mm-hmm. What gift did you get me?
Yeah. Monica's turning 39 and she's really excited because that day she's going to see her family that she hasn't seen in 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But before that happens,
Meredith walks outside with brows to the gods.
Brows to the gods.
Meredith put on a strong brow that morning. She said, you know what? I almost died yesterday. I'm going to live life to its fullest, and I'm going to brow.
Whitney gives a gift before all the chaos of your birthday. I'm going to give you a gift. And she takes Monica in, and Monica's so touched. And then it's just a shirt that says Salty AF. I was like, okay, I thought it was going to be like a gift.
Yeah, that's trash. That's
like,
literal garbage.
Did you find this in the gift shop at the Salt Lake City airport?
Probably. This is like a producer was like, hey, will you give Monica a gift? And Whitney's like, what? And they go, look, here, just give her this. Okay? Just please go film a scene where you give her this.
Monica goes,
and he goes, okay.
Wow, this is so amazing. Thank you. Heather is blowing up balloons with a pump, and she it looks like a good old-fashioned penis pump.
And she and Meredith are talking, and Meredith's like, how could you ever get over being told to shut the fuck up? And Meredith's like, you know, it's just crazy that happened, because I really don't believe in speaking to anyone that way. Like, I really do think that it's wrong. And it comes back to, like, Meredith, like, dropping F-bombs left and right. And then Whitney comes out and hears Heather talking shit about her.
Whitney comes out. She's in her self-tanner. Her tanner is crazy.
Everyone's in a place of, like, one avant-garde thing. So, like, Whitney decided to go dark with the spray tan. Then Meredith decided to go dark with the brows.
She goes, I don't believe in swearing. And then they cut. I love her when they cut. Fuck off. Yeah. And Whitney comes out and she goes, good morning. And they go, did you hear your name?
Yes, I did.
She apologizes.
She apologizes to Heather. And she goes, I am so sorry, and I don't mean to talk to you that way. And Heather goes, don't ever do that again. I was just like, I don't like Heather. When you give Heather an ounce of power, she abuses it. She goes full dictatress. She goes Nick Offerman, Civil War vibes. Mm-hmm. She's in a third term and must be shut down. She's gotten too big for her britches. I don't like it one bit.
It's pretty crazy that FDR had four terms.
He needed them.
Yeah, he was good.
He got off his ass.
He got off his ass.
He got off his ass and fucking worked.
Yeah. With him, everyone was like, "Eh, yeah, you're good."
Wasn't he? Was he in a wheelchair? That's
yeah.
Teddy.
He had no. He was. Yeah. He was. He had. Did he have polio when he was a kid or something? And that's no. Teddy Roosevelt didn't have. He was not.
Who is the one in a wheelchair?
FDR was. He could walk, but it was very hard for him, so he was mostly in like a wheelchair.
That's incredible because yeah. He didn't even have to get off his ass and work. He literally never got off his ass, but he worked like he was off his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a true winner.
He did some very bad things, but he did a lot of good things too.
That's everyone.
Yeah, he did intern Americans, but that was not good. But that was people were like, four terms for him.
Well, they were like, hey, there's a Great Depression. Can you solve it? And he said, sure.
Yeah. So Whitney or Heather's in her FDR moment and they have quiche, which looked really good, and potato. I wanted that breakfast. And Lisa just goes, yeah, I love Bermuda. I love it here. I love Bermuda. Monica sits
Happy
down.
Happy birthday.
And
go ahead.
Monica sits down and she goes, I just wanted to thank everyone. Lisa's also wearing like a little clown party hat. Everyone else is wearing like tiaras and she's wearing one like on the side of her head, looking like Pagliacci. And Monica goes,
she's always doing things a little differently.
No one's ever done anything like this for me before, at least in the last year.
Monica says she's never had a nice birthday breakfast and that she clings to moments like these. And I just realized, like, Monica she does have no friends.
Yeah.
She acts like a person who has no friends. She's an only child. She acts like an only child.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, everything now makes perfect sense as like to why she acts the way she acts. And I was like, it's all very clear. And now I'm like on board with her. I'm like,
me too.
Okay, understand like why she is a terrorist. And I encourage her to not heal it, but just continue to be a terrorist.
I know. I had to switch this episode with her a little. She's really grown on me. I think
I have a lot of empathy for her. I want nothing to do with her personally. I think that she scares the living daylights out of me. But I say, go with God. You will always be probably alone. You are unsocialized and you are a bit of a whore, but I don't begrudge you for it. I appreciate it and I get it. And keep on keeping on, Chica.
It's kind of giving when Danielle Staub was like, no one's ever given me a birthday party before.
Yeah, when someone says that, you understand exactly why. Like, it makes perfect sense that, like, no one has given Danielle Staub, like, a big old beautiful birthday. You're like, yeah, you don't fucking say.
Kim G gives her a birthday. That was incredible. So Monica's going to see her family that she hasn't seen in 30 years, her cousins. Her grandmother was born in Bermuda. Her grandparents helped, like, build the community back in the day. So she's like, has cousins that are still here and she hasn't seen them since she was a wee girl. And she goes, but other than that, we're going to go jet skiing and we're going to do a Pirates of the Caribbean theme later. And Lisa goes, I won't be dressing up.
She said, okay, you know, I don't like to get dressed up. So my contribution is hoop earrings. I was like, that's enough.
Yeah. Monica then invites Lisa to come with her to meet her family, which I was like, interesting.
Yeah, I love taking Lisa by surprise in a situation like that because that was truly, I think, the last thing that Lisa was expecting and the last thing I was expecting Monica to ask her. And I love Lisa going, of course, thank you for thinking of me.
Yeah, she was kind of like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I was like, literally, you have screamed at me for being upset that my $60,000 ring went missing. You've called me like a dirty dog bitch, and now you're asking me to like come see your family, who apparently 30 of them live in a house together.
Five of them.
Oh, I thought she said 30. I was like,
might as well.
Why
be.
Do she? I know. I would literally was like, why are do 30 of her family members live in a house? I was like, Bravo's gonna go film her 30 family. I completely misheard that. I was like, this is kind of crazy. Rob is going to go film 30 of her family members living in a house together.
Yeah, Lisa was like, oh, cool. Mm. And she,
I would love that.
That was such a power move on Monica's part.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, I really want you to see me and get me more because I feel like we're on a really good. And she goes, and because of that, I trust you to tell you that Meredith told me that Angie's in the Greek Mafia.
The Instagram account that reached out to them has 16 followers.
It's like Brooks, Chloe, her other hot son. He's hot.
I'm like, this, you should be really sus. If someone has 16 followers on their account, I'm like, you're up to no good.
Mm-hmm.
If you have less than 100 followers, you're pretty much up to no good.
I know that well, because one time I was getting trolled by this one account, and it had like 9 followers, and it was following like, and I had a feeling I knew who it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I scroll down the following list, and the first person they followed was one of my enemies. And I said, gotcha, bitch. And I blocked him.
Yeah.
I knew who it was.
Very clear. Chances are when someone's coming for you, you probably have an exact idea of who it is.
Yeah.
When it's an Instagram account with 16 followers.
Follow your heart. It's definitely, allegedly, most likely,
your number one enemy.
Mm-hmm. So she's sort of inferring, like, this, Lisa's like, wow, it reminds me of when I was being, there were Instagrams about me and the FCC and my bankruptcy with Vita.
Yeah, and apparently Monica says, like, the Instagram account provided all these documents that said that she owes $170,000 to the IRS. And I was like, who doesn't?
Yeah.
In this day and age.
She's still rich.
It's child's play. Yeah, it's fine.
But basically, they're like, seems like Meredith is behind this.
Mm-hmm. This reeks of Ms. Marks.
This reeks of a Marks takedown.
This reeks of Sweeney Marks.
Oh! Going to print out the documents, send it to the IRS.
Everyone gathers in the Sprinter van to go jet skiing. And
I love jet skiing.
I know, me too. I really was like, how do I get to Bermuda?
You should jet ski to Bermuda from
I'm ready to take off from like
North Carolina.
No, I'm going to take off from Long Beach. I'm going to take off from Manhattan Beach. I'm going to go through like the Suez Canal.
The Panama Canal.
The Panama Canal.
The Suez Canal is in Egypt.
Well, I'm going to get there eventually. I'm going to first go through the Panama Canal, make my way over to Bermuda, and then spend some time there, and then get back on the old jet ski and get on up to Africa.
Lest we forget, Countess Luann's in-laws were behind the Suez Canal.
I know.
So on the bus,
so Monica and Heather get into like a little tense moment because Heather's like, God, this reminds me of like my daughter who's like having the best time and like living it up in Santa Barbara. And Monica goes, how is she? Has she had sex yet? And then Heather's like, which is like a weird question. And I wouldn't begrudge anyone for being like, I'm not going to talk about my daughter's sex life on a national TV show. And so Heather's like, that makes me like really uncomfortable that you would ask that. Like, I'm not gonna answer that question. I would never disrespect her like that. And I was like, okay, you went from literally being like, I hope my daughter is a filthy whore in college, to then being like, I would never disrespect anyone like that.
Yeah, I was very thrown off by that because I'm like, literally in the last few seasons, you were like, tell me if you've been fucking. Like, basically, like, sitting her daughters down and being like, tell me about it.
Yeah, and she also has been like, I love dick. I want to, like, fucking suck my way through Salt Lake City. Like, I'm single, and I, like, love to date and, like, love to get plowed. So I'm like, what's up with this bad Mormon?
She also goes, Heather goes, yellow is my daughter's favorite color. And Lisa goes, that's my favorite color, too. So things get...
We learned so much about Lisa. Lisa is an empath.
Things get really tense, though, and so they have to blow off some steam by creating vapor.
In the jet skis?
On the high seas. Whitney's driving Angie.
They jet ski to a shipwreck where they feed fish huge slices of Wonder Bread, and I was like, this is heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa goes, oh, look at them. Look at them. It's a frenzy.
I loved Angie riding behind Whitney, like holding on to Whitney.
Clutching her tits.
Whitney looks so powerful on a jet ski.
It's where she's meant to be. She like comes into her own. Some people really do like find themselves on a jet ski.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're one of those people.
I have found myself on one before in Key mm-hmm. West.
Oh, yeah.
I
feel like
hungover.
You reach your full potential on a jet ski. You're mm-hmm. the most powerful you've ever been with a big jet ski between those legs.
Yeah, I feel like it's just like sort of a, like I'm in control of my destiny when I'm on a jet ski.
You go fucking Poseidon mode when you're on a jet ski.
I do. The last time I was on one, I was devastatingly hungover in Key West. It cured me.
The ocean will cure a hangover. You just have to go get slapped around by some waves
yeah.
and get a little chilly and get some salt on your skin. Mm-hmm. You'll feel instantly better.
Who says that the fish are eating more than the women have their entire lives?
Monica.
I do love to feed fish. I love feeding carp.
I love feeding any animal.
Carp, literally, I fed them in Lake Mead in Nevada near Vegas. They literally wrap their horrific lips around you when you feed them popcorn and they go
sick.
They're eating fish sandwiches, which are like a staple of Monica, they're all on the bus driving back and things are going okay, kind of.
Well, they're about to drive. They're just gathering back on the bus and then Lisa goes, do you want a honey stick? And I was like, wait, is she offering people like she's offering people just like honey sticks now, which I was like, I've never heard of this as like a snack that you would offer someone, but I'm obsessed with that as a snack, as a bee lover and like a honey truther where it's like everyone should be having a little bit of honey every day. It's like very good for you if it's like a local organic honey. And Lisa knows this and she has this blue honey, which I was like, okay, I need to know like everything about these honey sticks. She goes, they're so good for you. They really help with allergies. Do you want one? Do you want one? She's passing out her honey sticks. And Monica gets a text and immediately runs off the van, runs away crying.
Well, also the honey stick kind of made me think like it's good for when you're about to crash because you haven't eaten anything.
You got to get a little pick-me-up.
Mm-hmm.
And so Monica runs away and you hear Lisa go, oh no, what happened? What happened? She goes, Monica, what happened? What happened?
What happened?
What happened?
So now she sounded like my niece or nephew. What happened?
What is that Christopher Guest movie where they're like, what happened? There's a Christopher Guest movie where someone's like, what happened?
For Your Consideration?
I don't know, but it's in one of them, but Lisa runs after Monica and she goes, Monica, what's wrong? And Monica goes, my mom just made my family not meet me. And she goes, why? Why? Oh my God, why?
She's like, thank God I don't have to go. I mean, why? Oh God, I was dreading this so much, having to meet people I don't want to talk to.
I'm sorry. I don't want to meet Monica's family.
Well, if you're gonna invite like one person, you might as well just invite everyone to go with you, because it's like awkward. Well, I liked like in Ronge when they went to Italy and they all met Teresa's family and like everyone like had wine with them and like ate lots of pasta and they all went.
Yeah, but I'm like we don't know this person.
Right, it's true.
Like I just am really weirded out by like a newbie coming into the fold. And then this is my oldest child where I'm like, what have you done in this like meritocracy to deserve to be new and have a huge birthday trip where everyone bows down to you and then we are supposed to like go meet your family? Like, no, thank you. That's how I feel. And yeah. I'm like, I don't want to do it.
Let's unpack that.
But if she asked me, I'd be like, oh my God, of course. Thank you for thinking of me. And then I would be like, what happened? Whenever.
Her mom is so
Monica.
Evil.
Her mom is pure evil.
So
she has like viscous ink blood running through her veins.
So she basically called the family and was like, Monica's being horrible to me. Like, don't. And they, like,
don't meet my bitch daughter.
They shunned her, which is so. It's like, well, now I'm never going to fucking talk to any of you ever again. Peace.
Because LD didn't apparently just, like, ghosted Monica on a therapy appointment. Like, straight up just, like, didn't show up to therapy, which I was like, queen shit. And then she said, like, I want to come to Bermuda, which I'm obsessed with. Imagine LD on this trip. I would be so happy. But of course, Monica was like, you cannot come on this, like, cast trip for Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And then LD was like, well, we'll see if our family wants to meet you now, you ungrateful slut. And she's, so she called. She's truly.
She's awful.
Cast her full time.
I know. She could have stayed with the family.
She could have stayed in the house. I would love nothing more than to see LD just, like, wreaking havoc on these women.
This is how unsafe she makes me feel. I wouldn't feel safe sleeping in the same house as her. Like, I would...
Oh,
I
absolutely
would,
not.
I would keep a chair in front of the door. I would, like, keep... Like, I would be really scared that she would come in and, like, smother me.
I'd have mace on a keychain next to the bed. Mm-hmm. I would prop a chair up against the mm-hmm. door. I would, like, maybe try and even leave my phone on, like, filming the door.
So you can roll back the tapes the next day, Paranormal Activity style, and you just see her standing
and see LD's, like, black eyes just, like, entering. She is true hereditary.
She is.
What if she could just be there too? Like, she could be anywhere.
What if the whole time she's in the house making these calls from the house, stealing their food, Parasite style, living, like, in the wall?
She's so sinister. She's one of the most sinister people I've ever seen on television.
Me too.
And I crave more of her. Like, I want everything. The series finale, or, like, the season finale, needs to lead up to, like, her and Monica having a fight to the death.
Maybe it'll happen one of these days. So she gets, Lisa corrals her back on the bus and all the women comfort her. And then they go to the beach for lunch, and I really wanted these Bermudan fish sandwiches. They look really good.
When they get back in the van, Monica's still, like, upset, and everyone goes, what's wrong, Monica? What is wrong? The Wild Rose is like, what's wrong? And then Lisa goes, can I say it, Monica?
She was so excited.
She tells everyone. She goes, and Monica's talking. You just hear Lisa in the background going, Monica, Monica, I am so sorry, Monica.
She's such middle child. And
it's so good.
When they start eating their sandwiches on the beach, you just hear Meredith off screen go, say, lovey.
Monica says also she feels unwanted. And I was like, damn, like, this is where all of her behavioral problems stem from.
I get it. I get her.
I totally get it. Yeah.
And I think I do think that she's, like, trying to be, to break the cycle.
She is trying, but I feel like,
I mean,
trying to do that on one's own without the prying cameras of a TV show is going to be far more effective than trying to do it on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
No, it's fraught, and she's a narcissist, but I do think she's, for her kids' sake, she is trying. Like, I do believe that she loves her children so much and, like, wants them to be a unit, as she explains mm-hmm. later.
I love Wheatney touches Monica's shoulder, and she goes, Monica, I want you here.
Oh. She goes, you are salty AF, girl. Chica.
Chica, you are so salty, so briny.
You're a briny.
You're like the ocean.
You're a briny wench. You're like drinking a cup of seawater.
You are like a barnacle. A barnacle floating on the shores, attached to the docks. Some people want it gone, but others accept it, and I accept it, and I want you here.
You're like a bushel of seaweed, kelp. Salty and cooked right, you can make a great broth out of it.
But cooked wrong, you litter the beach. But either way, it is natural.
You are
I want you here.
You are a natural element here.
Please stay. Please don't go. Don't walk into the ocean.
When they get to their beach picnic before, like, the sandwiches are unveiled, you hear Meredith and she goes, Heather, are these the sandwiches you speak of?
She's so gone.
She's on, like, lore tab.
Thorzy.
Lisa takes a bite and she goes, ah, I'm kind of obsessed that we have these sandwiches.
And then Lisa goes, let's play a game. Let's play Fuck, Marry, Kill with everyone's husbands. And they all name their people. And then,
Monica's crown, though, is hanging off her head. And she's like, they're like, your crown's hanging on by a thread. And Monica goes, that's appropriate for my life right now. And Meredith goes, ha, 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 ha. She loved that joke.
She was tickled.
So, yeah, and then Lisa's like, let's play Fuck, Marry, Kill with all of our husbands and exes. Did she say that?
Yeah, and then when it gets to her, she goes, I'm not going to say anyone but John Barlow. And they go, well, it's like, bitch, you fucking suggested this game. And she goes, someone goes, okay, say a celebrity. And she goes, Idris Elba. And I was like, all right, I'm with you there.
Hundo.
But she had that ready.
She goes, I would fuck John Barlow. Like, you can't fuck him. You have to, like, fuck someone else's husband. She goes, I love John. I love fucking John. And I was like, oh, my God. She went full baby girl Lisa in that moment. I was like, I'm obsessed with her just fucking the shit out of John Barlow. You know what was also shocking is how many people were like, we want to marry Justin.
I know. I was like, guys, he cheated on his first wife. Like, he's not like a stand-up guy.
What do they see that we don't see?
Maybe he's, like, really sexy in person.
He's just, like, a really great guy. A lot of people wanted to fuck Sean.
Yeah.
And John Barlow.
No one
wanted to fuck Seth. Well, and I think that Heather was picking up on Meredith feeling, like, left out because no one wanted to fuck her husband. And pretty much exclusively they were like, I would kill Seth. And so Heather was like, I would fuck him, marry him, and then kill him and take all the money just to give Meredith, like, throw her a bone.
Yeah, like, Seth is fucking annoying and creepy.
I'm sad about my attraction to him.
No, I mean, I was attracted to him in the beginning, but now I'm like, he darks me out.
Yeah. His veneers.
Sorry, Mango is really snoring.
No, I don't hear him. It's not picking up on the Zoom, but maybe it's picking up on the
Your
audio.
Lisa
goes, let's go for a walk, Ange. My circulation is so shit right now. You're about to get a workout of a lifetime, girlfriend. They walk 10 feet away.
That's me working out.
You're about to get the workout of a life.
She tells Angie what Meredith was saying, which I was like, oh, God. Baby girl.
Meredith was saying you're in the mafia. And Angie's... I'm just obsessed with these rumors. I'm also obsessed that, like, they're all about the documents.
I know.
Whenever someone's like, documents were produced, and someone's like, all about documents, I'm like, you're unwell. You're like an addict, or you're like having a mental break. It's off to the asylum for you. If anyone... The second anyone starts talking about documents, I'm like, what has happened to you?
Yeah, no other cast loves documents more than these women.
Real Housewives, just in general, love a document. Remember Lisa Rinna showing up with, like, manila folders of just, like, mystery documents?
Yeah. So Angie's, like, half tickled by it, but also, like, miffed. Lisa goes, yeah. It's exactly what she was doing with me. She loves to do this. It's her tactic.
Classic Meredith, always trying to take someone down. They all go back to the house, and Heather calls her daughter Ashley, and they have a little combo. Boring. And then it cuts to Whitney, and Whitney Rose is reading Bad Mormon on the beach.
I'm going to see what this is all about. See you later, girls. I'm going to the beach.
I love her. They set up the shot.
I know.
Specifically for her to be like,
I know.
Beating on the beach. So it was powerful imagery.
Monica calls Bree. Poor Bree.
I feel so bad for her.
She said Bree came out of the womb as an old soul. I was like, damn, she never had a chance. Like,
no.
She's always going to be mummy. She came out as mummy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this is what I'm saying. I think Monica genuinely, she's like, I'm an only child. I didn't get to have like siblings. And all I wanted was to have siblings. So I gave my daughters that gift of like, there's like five of them. So like, that is, I think, her trying.
Well, she birthed a mother for her other three daughters.
Yeah.
And said, you're a family unit now. Do as I say. And also take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm TBD if this will end well. Bree seems like she's a good sister.
To Monica.
Well, she's a good mother to Monica. And then she's caretaking the rest of the siblings, too.
God, Volvo is... She is...
Volvo's really...
Yeah.
Dark-sided.
So everyone dresses like a pirate except Barlow. And I kept thinking of Luann talking about the pirate that looks like Johnny Depp. Doesn't he look like
Doesn't he look exactly like Johnny Depp?
Everyone's like, no.
Wait, also, if I was on this trip with Angie K, I'd be like, low-key, though, are you in the mafia?
How do you say her last name?
Tell me. Can't remember.
Katsiganis or something?
Yeah.
I like when Lisa refers to Sean as Sean Katsiganis. She loves to say the full name.
It's important. So you know who to whom someone's referring.
So everyone comes out fully decked like a pirate except Barlow, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to the restaurant.
Monica's dressed as a bearded lady.
I kind of like Monica going like drag.
Yeah. It's an interesting juxtaposition.
Mm-hmm. She kind of looked like she pulled it off. Like I was like, she's fully
like... It
looks
like, really good and natural. Like I'm like, oh, this man... She's like
this beautiful man.
It's very extremely non-binary. Mm-hmm. It's very like now. If pirates existed in 2023, this would be like the vibe of a pirate.
Kind of non-binary vibe.
Totally non-binary, like
freewheeling.
Masculine person in a feminine outfit.
Pirates are all sort of faggots in the best way.
Mm-hmm. Monica looks like most of the hosts and hostesses at restaurants on the east side that I've been to recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect her for that.
Yeah. Monica asks, at the dinner table, she asks everyone when they last had sex.
She says, I want to play a game. And Whitney is like, no more games for the love of God. And then...
Everyone is like, so awkward.
Everyone, let's go around the table and say when you last had sex, and then everyone lies
except Whitney.
But I think like they go around to like at least three people, like Lisa Barlow fully lying, Meredith lies,
Angie lies,
Angie another lie. They're all like yesterday. They are all like, oh, before we left. Then Meredith's like, well, Seth left 2 days ago, but definitely before that. Right before. I was like, you all did not have sex with your significant others right before you left.
Whitney goes, before the airport. I was like, I believe that.
Yeah.
She got her fuck on in the morning.
Well, I think that Whitney wouldn't lie, but then everyone else was like, oh yeah, before.
Angie goes, we had sex like, before I came here.
Lisa goes, before he left.
It
and
is,
and they're like, what about you, Meredith? And she goes, well, Seth left 2 to 3 days ago, but right before that.
Somewhere between
like you 3 to 10 days. Lying. And they go, what about you, Heather? And Heather goes,
this was so weird. She was like, this is not fair. I'm the only single person here. And Monica goes, I'm literally getting a divorce right now. Like, what are you talking about? And she goes, would you say you're more single, you're as single as I am? And she goes, yeah, I could go fuck someone right now and it wouldn't be a big deal because I'm not married. That was so strange.
Yeah, I don't get that line of thinking.
Especially because...
What's going on with this bad Mormon?
No, especially because there have been, like, so many moments, and not bad, like, just, like, Heather being fun and free and being like, I'm going to fuck this guy right now. Like, where did that go? Like, I'm like, she's suddenly pearl clutching at this? It was so strange.
It was really strange.
She goes, it's not fair. You all have privilege that I don't have. Because you all have... I'm like, you're more likely to have sex when you're single.
Yeah. I was like, also, these leaders are fucking lying through their teeth.
Yeah.
Also, it doesn't matter if you haven't had sex in like a long time. Like, who gives a shit?
But it was just so...
You acting weird about it is weirder than just being like, yeah, I haven't fucked in like a year.
It was just strange that she suddenly... And then her saying like, telling Monica she's not single. Mm-hmm. I was like, she's pretty single. She's raising four daughters on her own.
Her going, shut the fuck up, like Whitney said to me last night. And then Whitney goes, we should not play games anymore.
Whitney's traumatized from Bad Mormon.
Yeah, and then she's like...
My queen Angie goes, well, on the topic, I have to wet my whistle before I start because this is a lot.
I was like, Carrie's living for this.
I know.
She really turned it out. I see her, like, because you love her so much, like, I love her so much. And I don't even really know why, but it literally just is because you are obsessed with her.
She's kind of campy. She goes...
She's good.
So, Meredith, apparently I'm in the Greek mafia. And then Meredith goes, I don't know what you're talking about. and then she keeps being like, you mentioned you got an Instagram or something claiming that I have like committed fraud.
You got DMs. And, like, DMs. You sent the DMs to everyone. Meredith goes, I have never made these claims.
And then Monica's like, Meredith, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you told me this yesterday.
I'm obsessed with Angie K. She goes, in the Greek mafia, what? Can a Greek person not be successful?
Love. The anti-Greek bias in this country is strong.
It's so strong, and someone has to say something.
But Meredith is like, I was like, oh, whoa. She denies. I've never seen that before. She's just like, I have never made these claims. But versus any other time, this time you could see the fear in her eyes a little. I could see it, that she was suddenly like, oh shit, I've gone too far.
What is her thought process during all of this? Because we never get a glimpse behind the curtain. Like, she truly is like, I have no idea what Meredith is thinking ever about anything.
You don't have no idea what she's thinking?
No.
I don't know if she, A, remembers doing this stuff, or B, like... I think she doesn't, it's like she can't, it's like second nature. She just always has to have a file on someone.
But where is she getting these documents?
I think there's just like people that like, I feel
like. She's on like LexisNexis. She's like just patrolling. Does Meredith take Ambien and then go into like a fucking blackout, make Instagram accounts, get 16 followers, and then start like culling all the documents that she's been collecting and sending them to people? She might think that she's not doing this because she's just like on Ambien.
This time though, I saw in her face the fear a little. She's like,
she goes like this,
I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, my theory was like, are there just like fans of the show or people that just want to like get attention from like gays and women, like girls that watch who are like bored and just want, like, they're like, I'll dig up stuff, you know what I mean? And does she have like legions of like kind of shady people?
I believe that there are like Bravo fans who are unhinged who would go the extra mile to like dig up documents,
like Facebook group people.
Yeah, or
maybe
just
not
like,
even them.
No, I mean, there's some, but like, just people who are upset. They're fellow document obsessives.
Right. Yes.
Who need to be like rehabbed for their addiction to documents.
No, I do. I see like a lot of Bravo. There's a lot of Bravo fan accounts that love documents and are like,
they love
taking it to a place of like document, which is like
the
very...
documents.
So I think Meredith has sort of tapped into that world a little.
Yeah. She fancies herself, even though she's like never really practiced law, fancies herself a lawyer, and these are her like paralegals. And she's dealing in documents all day.
Whitney goes, Meredith, the common denominator here is you. It is true. She's investigated three of the, like, Jen.
She's always the one.
Lisa. Now Angie. And I think... And there was a set to me, I saw a flicker of fear because she was like, shit, what if she actually is in the mafia? And she was like, whack me.
And she goes, Google me, bitch. I do millions of dollars in business.
Oh, okay.
I love that.
Cool.
And I love this cave that they're in.
Yeah,
just
like
gorgeous, like stalagmites everywhere. I was like, the food probably is terrible, but it's nice to be in a cave.
I love the edits, the producers, the editors, the reverb and the screams in the cave.
Lisa Barlow goes, I am so over this. Crossman, can I have some water?
She also goes, I'm very suspicious.
Meredith goes, I am not doing anything.
She's like, I'm not doing anything.
Lisa goes, listen, if one more DM comes up, I will have my cybersecurity team go the distance on it.
And they all go, you have a cybersecurity team? And she goes, yeah, of course, John Barlow and I have one.
We all need to take a page out of the Queen Barlow's book and lawyer up. We need a team of attorneys and a cybersecurity team. I was like, this is on my 2024 vision board for myself. Is like, where's the cybersecurity team first and foremost? And then I got to get 6 more lawyers.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Sup needs cybersecurity.
It really does, actually. We need a cybersecurity to go onto Facebook.
We have a spiritual security with Cherub.
Yeah, but so we need...
But we need, like, cyber...
To beef up the team. Yeah.
Listen.
If one more fucking DM comes up, I will have my cybersecurity team go the distance on it.
She gagged all of them. They were all like...
She did.
What?
I want a full list of her entire team. Like, what other teams... Does she have?
She's got teams
on the payroll. She has a lot of teams.
She's the definition of congrats to the team.
It takes a village.
It really takes a village with the Barlows. Thank you.
I love fucking John Barlow.
I love fucking John Barlow.
God, I love her so much. Every passing episode, she gets better and better.
I know. Well, this was great. This was a really good... This trip is... Chef's kiss.
I can't believe it's just day 2.
I know. What other horrors await? We're going to get the thing that between Heather and Monica.
Is that for sure what comes up? Mm-hmm. Is that Heather realizes that Monica's suing her?
I think so.
Classic.
Should we do a shout out of our divas in the cult?
Yeah. I have some documents to read off.
Here's some documents.
And that's a list of cult members.
Cult members.
I meant to go to Patreon and I just Googled podcast.
It's Wednesday.
Hump day. That's hump day for you.
C'est la vie.
I'm kind of obsessed that we have these sandwiches.
I know. I love. Anyone want any honey?
Anyone want a honey stick?
Who wants a honey stick?
Sarah Elizabeth. Lucy from London. Oh, Brooke Johansson, I'm kind of obsessed with you.
I'm obsessed with Brooke.
Brittany Ryan Weiss, a member of my cybersecurity team.
Love that.
Danielle McMillan. Lady Swampwitch gives no fucks.
She certainly doesn't.
Lazara.
Love Lazara.
Malzatov.
We always have loved Malzatov. She's a great presence in the cybersecurity team.
Oh, I'm kind of obsessed with Mary.
Me too.
Eliza Twaddle, she really rounds out my legal team.
She does. She's one of the best attorneys in the state.
Maisie McKierney, another incredible attorney that I consult with.
Yeah.
Mike Earhart.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie Oaks.
Oh, love her. Love him. Love them.
Sharon Baum, realtor.
She's one of the best realtors. I have 3 realtors and she's my top realtor.
Owsley.
I love Owsley.
Trench Ghoul.
Mm-hmm.
Many people think that you might need multiple trench ghouls, but really you only need one.
There's only one trench ghoul in my life, and that's trench ghoul.
Mariah Kay.
Oh, love that Kay.
Kathy West.
I'm East for Kathy.
Rochelle Martino.
Oh, love her. She's so great. I've always loved all Rochelles in my life, and she's the top Rochelle.
Kit Moore.
Love Kit. I want more of Kit.
Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando. Orlando's a beautiful name.
She's
it's
so
a
great.
Unique name.
I love Orlando.
She's wonderful.
Yeah. I've been to Orlando.
I'm kind of obsessed with that name.
We go to the tequila convention in Orlando sometimes, so I love that name.
Nick Sedaris.
Oh, love that gay.
Emily.
Love Emily.
Kim Lucas.
Kim's my favorite Kim.
And then there's always Jeffrey Pradama.
Jeffrey Pradama.
Guys, thank you for being the cult members of the century. We have 26. What a team.
Cybersecurity.
What an incredible team. The congrats of cybersecurity
to the team. Thank you so much.
Of 26 members.
We love you all.
26 strong. 26 strong.
Well, guys.
Guys, that's it for today. With love and light, we wish you well on your endeavors and stay true.
Stay true.
And until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith-Savadoff. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more sup and just can't get enough, and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.